In the name of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. I remember where I was when the planes hit the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, as does anyone who is old enough to remember that day. I was working for an online fundraising company, the height of the internet boom, just before the bust. A coworker ran home and grabbed a portable TV. This was before YouTube and cell phones, so we could watch the news. We frantically checked in with clients in New York, obviously not getting through. We tried to work. We tried to keep our heads down, but we were also obsessively reading Yahoo News alerts, trying to make sense of the event that changed how we live to this very day. At the end of the day, my coworker Greg approached me. Greg was from Labrador, and as any good Newfoundlander, he loved to push buttons. And the button he loved to push on me was my Christian faith. He loved to goad me into debates, and I took the bait every single time. On that day, as I was picking up my bag to go home, Greg came up to me, looking serious, as we all were. He asked me very directly, "What do you do about something like this? What does God have to do with any of this? Where is God?" And I was scared. There's no other word for it. Our emotions were raw. I was afraid that the wrong answer would make him upset and angry. It's such a critical question, I thought. If I answered it wrong, Greg may never speak to me again. And I didn't know where to turn. To be honest, aside from praying quietly at my desk, I hadn't really thought it through. Thankfully, Greg was patient, and I had the wherewithal to be quiet. Those of you who know me know what a miracle that is. And to listen for the words. And then I said, "Honestly, Greg, I don't know. What I do know is this. When I get home tonight, I am going to call every member of my family and tell them how much I love them." Since Easter, here at First, we've been talking about how we can share a tolerant, inclusive, Lutheran expression of the Christian faith based in grace. When our friends and family are inundated with messages from a toxic Christianity fueled by greed and isolation. In my first sermon, I told you that I do not have a database of well-thought-out answers to every question people may have about Christianity, despite over 20 years in ministry, 12 of those ordained. Over the past almost 17 years, I have thought about that answer I gave to Greg. Was there more to say? I didn't even mention God, or prayer, or scripture, or church. Well, after years of study, I have come to a conclusion. My answer to Greg was exactly the right answer. I imagine we will all remember where we were when we heard that Alec Manassian used a van to speed down Yonge Street and attack pedestrians outside on one of the first beautiful, sunny days of the year. It was like September 11th in that, at first, thinking someone lost control. It was an accident. And then, as more details and footage was released, the horrible realization that this could not be an accident. It may appear self-serving to talk today about how we share our faith with others. Are we not just taking advantage of a horrible tragedy? Well, let me take us back to our first sermon in this series. Remember, we started with Thomas, wonderful, honest, authentic Thomas, simply being himself. This is not a time for us to put our faith away, any more than it's a time to put our questions away. This is a time when each of us as Christians turn to God in prayer and turn to our Christian community more than ever. I was planning on taking our Lenten banners down this week, which are already 3 weeks late, and actually 5 weeks late, and I just couldn't do it this week. The image of people praying together I thought was important. So, first of all, let me remind you how important it is to take care of yourself. Allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling. On Tuesday, I was here and I went across the street to Hamasaya for lunch. It's become one of my regular places. And I felt an overwhelming urge to grab Tom, the hummus guy, burst into tears, hug him, and tell him how much I loved him. I didn't do it, but I really wanted to. Bring your fears and worries to God in prayer. Seek out your friends and be gentle on yourself. And if you've already moved on, that's fine too. You do not need to generate feelings that are not there. You may, though, want to be mindful that some of your friends may need to talk. So hear the invitation from Jesus today. Remain in me and I remain in you. On Tuesday afternoon, we held a small vigil here for those on campus who wanted to come and pray. Yassine Dwyer, who's the Muslim chaplain who shares my office in the afternoons, asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And he reminded us that God is present in how we respond to such events. He encouraged us to have another look at the question and look instead at how good people respond to bad things happening. As Christians, we believe in a loving God, one who mourns and weeps with us over every tragic loss. So first, we rest with God, in the vine. All of our strength, our growth, our courage comes from the source of all life, which is the vine. In times of tragedy and distress, when people like my coworker, Greg, may look to you for answers, simply bearing witness may be the best response. What does it mean to bear witness? Bearing witness simply means to observe the truth that is happening around you and to tell the truth that you experience. It's not about having the correct answer or accessing the most appropriate theological text or scripture passage. Now, it may seem to you that there are way too many people telling their truth all the time, very loudly, even profanely, without any reasonable foundation. And you would be correct. However, bearing witness is not just writing or sharing a Facebook post or Twitter thread. It means being present. and observing the events around you through your own lens of experience, faith, or even fear. In the first letter of John, which Michael read from today, in the Lutheran tradition and in the Christian faith, we are reminded there is one perspective through which Christians bear witness, and that is the perspective of love. Seek love, and there you will find God. Name love and give people hope. Mr. Rogers, who is an old children's performer, once said, "My mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" To this day, he continues, especially in times of disaster, "I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many people, so many helpers, so many caring people in the world." We can bear witness when we find where God is present in the response to tragedy, in the helpers, in the signs and flowers and prayers, and with those who are weeping. In the Toronto Star yesterday, there was a story of 26 helpers who were in North York on April 23rd. All ordinary folks who didn't risk their lives or do anything dangerous, but jumped in to help complete strangers. Many who performed CPR. A videographer who reached out to embrace the woman he was interviewing. People holding hands of those who were dying. The police officer who refused to shoot. We have recovered the historic tagline, "Toronto the Good," which is a 19th century description of a very Victorian and proper Toronto. And it's now recovered to describe the love and the courage shown in the past week. We need to recall our vocation to love even more as we hear about the origins of Manassian's Rage, a horrible movement of male grievance, men who are dealing with rejection by women by finding other men and fueling one another's rage. No one is ever under an obligation to say yes unconditionally, ever. When we love our neighbors, all our neighbors, as God loves us, we create a more tolerant society. A society where women can live and have their bodies respected, and a society where even the Alec Manassians of the world can find the love and acceptance they so desire. Bearing witness to love is not always telling the good stories. Sometimes it means naming the causes of deep pain, so we can bear witness to the love in response to that pain. And we cannot do that alone. We can only do that by abiding in Christ, the vine. I want to conclude with the poem written this week by Toronto's poet laureate Anne Michaels. She calls it a poem born out of speechlessness, as she listened to the family of Anne-Marie D'Amico talk about their loved one and their hope that her altruism would inspire others. It speaks to the strength of love, to not merely be positive, but to be present in the darkest times, to conquer the darkness, even death. In darkness, love cries out. All night it grows, the wall of flowers, prayers, solace. spontaneous, immediate. 1,000 names, 10,000. A ribbon of whiteboard with its prayers. A blockade against the dark, glowing under the moon and stars. The moon and stars that remain in the sky when day comes. Invisible, they do not disappear. Offering their proof, the lost will not be lost. We hold them close. We will form a circle of millions around them, our dead, our wounded, our witnesses, our families. We will not surrender how we love. We will not surrender those we love. We will not surrender them to the dark. We will starve the dark. Give it nothing. We are love's lamentation, love's consolation. Our love reaches every corner of the city. We know hope is not a luxury. What we give cannot be taken from us. Feel how you are needed. Let love answer.